maybe some immigrants who come in, and perhaps it's their custom in the country that they come from that they'll have an arranged marriage. But I did bother to look up a couple of things, and I found that there are still some countries today where marriages are arranged, prearranged, we might even say. Certainly India, this is a very common practice in India, also in China, also in some Middle Eastern countries, in Pakistan, Bangladesh, even in China. Marriages are arranged by the parents or the grandparents. And it was commonly practiced in the days of Abraham. And so he commissions his trusted servant Eliezer for this very important mission. Go out and find a bride for Isaac. Abraham, you know, is called the father of the faithful. At this time, he's 140 years old. In our next lesson in the book of Genesis, we'll be bidding goodbye to Abraham, because he, like all men with the exception of two, Enoch and Elijah, Abraham must himself die. And so we'll bid goodbye to him. But he's an old man now, but he still has this great longing for his son Isaac to have a bride from the homeland. Not from among the Canaanites, who are a godless people, who were an idolatrous people, but rather to, he instructed Eliezer, and you'll notice that Eliezer's name isn't even mentioned. We know it's Eliezer because we can go back and we pick that up from earlier portions of Scripture, but Eliezer doesn't even mention his name. Now, Abraham, of course, is a picture of God the Father, and Isaac is a picture of the Lord Jesus, and Eliezer, he's a picture of the preachers of the gospel. You don't need to know the names of the preachers of the gospel. You don't need to know me. Well, you can call me. I want you to call me by name, but hey, I'm not the important one. Isaac is the important one, that is Christ Jesus. He's the one you've got to know. You don't need to know me. But you got to know him. Life's in knowing him, believing him, loving him, and worshiping here. I'm just the one, just like Bill before me and Henry before Bill. We're the ones who convey the message. We're the Eliezers of God. And we come forth with a message concerning our master's darling son, and how that God has given to him all things. He's so precious. He's so trustworthy. He's just the Savior all of us need. We're here to brag on and point people to Christ, the Lord of glory. So Eliezer goes forth to tell people, to tell whoever he meets about Isaac, and he's especially looking for a young lady. Our marriage to Christ, you know, it's a prearranged marriage, isn't it? Well, sure it is. You know, all things were prearranged for our relationship with Jesus Christ to be the bride of Christ. God the Father arranged it all, and he arranged it all before he ever made the world. He wrote our names down in the Lamb's Book of Life. And then he sent his Son to redeem us, to buy us back from offended justice. He knew us and he loved us and he cared about us and he appointed us to everlasting glory. Way before we knew anything about God. In fact, way before he ever created anything, this is his eternal decree. God arranged a marriage. He arranged for a people to believe on his Son, to worship him, to fall in love with him, to see his beauties, to appreciate His greatness and to see how that God had given all things over to him. In Revelation chapter 21, John sees the into the eternal future. He sees that time when time shall be no more. And he says, I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven and prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Adorned. You see, we are adorned as a bride for Christ Jesus. Well, in what clothing are we adorned? Well, not in our filthy rags. Those filthy rags of self-righteousness have to be stripped off of us. We're adorned with the garments that the bridegroom gives us, even his very righteousness. So God has prepared all things. He's appointed all things. He has prearranged our union with the Lord Jesus. Last night I was talking to Nancy. She said, well, how's your message going to go? And she took Susanna to Dayton today, and both of them were wiped out, so that's why she's not here. She said, how's your message going to be Wednesday night? And I said, I'm going to talk about an arranged marriage. She said, you know, ours was arranged too. And I said, well, that's right. That's right. Ours was arranged too. Yours and Ronnie's was arranged too. I wouldn't go around the room. All of our marriages were arranged before the world began. But not only our marriages, everything was arranged by God before He made anything. But that which is at the very head of the list, that which is most honoring and glorifying to God, He arranged that He would save a bunch of people that would fall in Adam's transgression, and they would be brought to the Lord Jesus and joined to Him by invincible, effectual, irresistible grace. And the gospel of the Lord Jesus, that's what His Eliezers go around preaching. And here's the miracle of it. This gospel, it will search out and find the bride. You remember our Lord said in John chapter 10, my sheep hear my voice. What is the voice of the Lord? It's His gospel. It's the good news of redemption finished and accomplished. It's the good news of the grace of God for those who are undeserving of any good from God. It's the good news of the Lord Jesus and His completed work of redemption. Isaac is the second most important person in this. And I guess we could even say he's equal with Abraham. Just like the Son of God is equal with the Father, both of them being God. Isaac is now 40 years of old. He's the promised son. He is the heir. He's the heir. Look with me here in chapter 24 at verses 35 and 36. Now here's Eliezer, and he is speaking to Laban, who is Rebekah's brother. Eliezer says, and the Lord hath blessed my master greatly, and he has become great. And he hath given him flocks and herds and silver and gold and men servants and maid servants and camels and asses. And Sarah, my master's wife, bare a son to my master when she was old. Now watch this. And unto him, unto Isaac, hath he given all that he hath. Abraham has given everything. Abraham is a wealthy man. But he gives everything over to his son. And I'll tell you, I hope you see the picture here that God the Father has given to His Son all things. Now understand this, He already had all things by virtue of creation and the fact that He's God. He's God over all, blessed forever. He's always been God. He's the great I Am. He's Jehovah, the ever-existent One. But this One who is the Son of God, eternally the Son of God, He stepped out of glory and He came into this world by divine appointment. And He joined His deity with humanity. The Scripture says He humbled Himself. What a stoop. To leave heaven. To, as it were, step down off of His throne. And then join Himself to the same kind of body that rebels on earth possessed. But His body was without sin. And in that body He grew in stature and in wisdom. In that body He fully obeyed God's law. And then in that body, body and soul, He had a human soul and a human body. He suffered all of the indignities that men could heap upon Him. But in His soul, He suffered all of the wrath of God that was due to us because of our sinfulness. And by His substitutionary death, He paid all of our debt. He settled the issue forever. And He arose again because He justified us by His righteous obedience. He saved His people from their sins. And therefore God has given all things over to His Son. Just like Abraham gave all things to Isaac, the Father has given all things over into the hands of His Son. Now let me give you a few scriptures here. First of all, Matthew chapter 11. And some of these you're, probably all of these you're familiar with, but I want to read these. I want you to take the time to turn in the Scriptures with me. Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. And look at verse 27. And it won't be enough time to comment on these verses, but I just want to read them to you. Matthew 11, 27. All things are delivered unto me of my Father. All things. Not most things. All things. Nothing is left out. And no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son. And he to whomsoever the Son will reveal Him. Reveal Him. Look at John chapter 3. John chapter 3 and verse 35. John chapter 3 and verse 35. John the Baptist says, John 3:35, the Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into His hand. Turn a page or two over to chapter 5. John chapter 5. Verse 21. Well, verse 20. For the Father loveth the Son and showeth Him all things that Himself doeth. And He will show Him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom He will. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. That's the reward for His faithfulness. Look at verse 23. That all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father which hath sent Him. Those who refuse to honor Jesus of Nazareth as being the Son of God, they're not honoring God. Not at all. They're blaspheming the name of God. Our Lord says very clearly that if he that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. Verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. What is that? That's regeneration. That's the new birth. That's the Son quickening whom he will. Verse 26, for as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. The Son of God is life. And he said that in John chapter 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Look at verse 27, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also because he's the Son of Man. As the Son of God, no authority was given to him. But it was given to him as the Son of Man. He earned it by finishing the work that the Father gave him to do. So, as we go back to our text in Genesis chapter 24, the trusted servant, Eliezer, he goes forth and he's speaking of the greatness of his master's son. This is our job. This is our responsibility. And beyond that, this is our privilege. This is our honor. This is a wonderful thing God has given to us, that he has established a local church here to make known the glories and the beauties and the work of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Eliezer, a faithful servant, his name means God is my help. He received a commission from his master. Go find a bride for my son. And we, as a congregation, as a church, we're on a mission, for we've received a commission to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, Rebecca, she prefigured all of the Lord's bride. And the bride was chosen in grace and redeemed by blood, that shall be called by the gospel. Now, last week, we dealt for a little bit. We talked about the mission that Abraham gave to his trusted servant, and then that the Lord had promised that the mission of Eliezer would be successful. I've said it before, and you've heard other preachers say it, I'm sure. We're not on a fool's mission. We're going to be successful. My ministry will be successful. I can't fail because I'm setting forth the Word of God. And it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, when a door is open for the gospel to be preached, we always triumph. We're triumphant in Christ Jesus. And the Word of God may be a savor of life and the life for some, and it is. And others, it's a savor of death unto death. But the Word of God will go forth, and it will always accomplish the purpose of God. I remind you of how Eliezer asked the Lord to bless his mission. And that's what we pray. Lord, bless our mission. Bless our preaching. I'm up here tonight sowing good seed. Good seed. The good seed of the Word of God. Some of it falls on wayside hearers. The ground is hard. There's been no preparation of the heart to receive the seed. Some are stony ground hearers. The seed falls in, but there's no depth to the soil, and it doesn't take root. Others are thorny ground hearers, and you seem to receive the word of God, but then the thorns of this world just choke out the seed. And then there's that prepared ground. And you notice several times Eliezer talks about being in the way. Did you notice that? Being in the way. Sowing the seed. I'm looking for a bride. And he asks for God to prepare the way. Prepare the way. But I want you to notice this, and I read this to you. This servant of the Lord, and if you're keeping an outline, first of all, the mission Abraham gave to his trusted servant. Secondly, the Lord promised to make his mission successful. And here's the third thing. The servant must not deviate from his errand. When he got to the house of Laban, and Laban invites him in, and Laban, he puts out a big spread of food. This servant and his associates have traveled a long distance. They're weary, they're hungry, they're tired. But when food is set before them, notice what the scripture says in verse 33. And there was said meat or food before him to eat. But he said, the servant said, verse 33, I will not eat until I have told mine errand. And Laban said, well then, say what you got to say. Speak on. Speak on. Our Lord's business, that's our priority. And we must not let anything else get in the way. Eating is a good thing. But to Eliezer, that's a secondary matter. He's there in search of a bride for Isaac. He's got a message to set forth. And after that's set forth, then we'll eat. But he said, nothing's going to be more important than that. I've been in the ministry a long time. I've seen several preachers get sidetracked by what appeared to be worthwhile endeavors. Eating is a worthwhile endeavor. But it's not more important than delivering the master's business, taking care of the master's business. I've seen preachers who seem to be preaching the gospel, and then they kind of got legalistic. They got into rules and regulations and law keeping. Left that narrow way of salvation. I had a young man in one of the congregations I pastored. He was going away to school. And I knew of a church in that area, and I said, hey, this would be a good church for you to attend. And so he went away to school, and he attended that church. He came home on break, and he said, do you have any idea what that guy's preaching? I said, well, I've heard him at Bible conferences. He said, he's preaching the Jewish dietary laws. He got sidetracked. He forgot his errand. He forgot his mission. Our mission is not to straighten out your diet. Our mission is to tell you about Christ Jesus, who he is, what he did, why he did it, and where he is now. That's our mission. I know two preachers, they got sidetracked by the Flat Earth Society. And I told one of them, I said, what does it matter whether the earth is flat, round, or oblong? God's got a people here and we got to preach the gospel to them. If you think the earth's flat, go ahead and think that. But that's not our mission. Whatever shape it's in, God's got an elect people here and they got to hear the gospel. We got to brag on Christ. They got all tied up in it. No good. No good. Got sidetracked. Let's endeavor to be like our master. You remember when he was, he dealt with the Samaritan woman. Drink of the water that I'll give you and you'll never thirst again. A water of life. And he dealt with her so tenderly and kindly. And then she went into town to tell her five husbands that she had divorced and anybody else who would listen to her about the wonders of this great Messiah. Well, meanwhile, while he was speaking to her, his disciples went to town to buy food. And then she left, and then the disciples came back, and they said, "Master, eat. It's time to eat." He said, "I have meat to eat that ye know not of." Therefore, his disciples said to one another, "Has anybody brought him lunch already? Anybody brought him something to eat already?" And Jesus said to them, "My meat, my food, is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work." He said, "That's my meat." And I'm going to tell you something, that's our meat too. It's to do the work that he called us to do. We're not called to build hospitals. We're not called to build orphanages. Those are worthwhile endeavors that the lost can do. The men and women who don't know God, they can build orphanages. They can build hospitals in foreign lands, in pagan lands. But we do what nobody else does. Honor God in preaching the gospel. And that's what we stick to. And that's the only thing we do. That's our business. Our business. You see, the preacher of the gospel and really the church that believes the gospel, we have meat to eat that the world doesn't know anything about. They don't understand us. The Lord even says they don't understand you. The world knoweth you not because it knew me not, he said. They don't understand what we're all about. They don't know why we meet and come here and we don't conform to their standards. We don't join in with them. We don't fit this religious society. The religious society today, their theory is, let's sing like the world and dress like the world and preach like the world and play instruments like the world. Yeah, that's what they're doing. And the world is in there then. That's all they got. It's a worldly church. But you tell them, they ask you, "Well, what did your preacher preach on yesterday?" "He preached on Christ crucified." "Well, yeah. Well, everybody knows that." "Oh, everybody don't know that either. They don't know who he is. Don't know the reason that he died." We have a mission to fulfill. Well, so we must not get sidetracked. And here's the fourth thing. It comes time for a verdict. Time for a verdict. This man, Eliezer, he tells him, he says, I gotta ask Rebecca this. She going with me or not? And so Laban and her mother called for Rebekah, verse 58. They called Rebekah and said unto her, "Wilt thou go with this man?" It's time for a verdict. Brother Barnard used to stress that. Time for a verdict. We're preaching for a verdict. I despise cheap, easy believism, decisionism. I truly do. But I'll say this. When the whole gospel has been set forth, it is time for a verdict then. Will you go with this man? Will you believe this gospel? Will you bow before Christ Jesus? Will you own Him as the Son of God, the Son of Man? Will you acknowledge that He alone is the Savior and He saves by grace? It's time for a verdict. Time for a verdict. And she said, I will. Because you see, as it says in Psalm 110, verse 3, thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. I will. And I tell you what, all of you who are saved, you went to Christ Jesus willingly. Willingly. He didn't pick you up by the nape of your neck and throw you into the kingdom of God. You came to Christ willingly. Why? Say it. He made you willing. Otherwise, you wouldn't have come. You see, Rebecca is a beautiful type of the church. She was thought of before she knew it. She was loved before she knew it. She was appointed to be the bridegroom of Isaac before she knew it. And unbeknownst to Rebecca, her husband had already passed through death and resurrection. That's what Isaac, he as it were, went through death. Because Abraham, in his own mind and heart, he executed that boy. He sacrificed him, believing God could raise him from the dead. That's a picture of our Lord Jesus, who was sacrificed by God the Father. And he did be raised from the dead. And here's the last thing. If God sends forth a messenger, He will prosper His journey. I hope you notice this, how frequently the word prosper is used in Genesis chapter 24, verse 21. The man wondering at her held his peace, to wit whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. Verse 40. And he said unto me, the Lord before whom I walk will send his angel with thee and prosper thy way. Verse 42. And I came this day, Eliezer said, unto the well. And I said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, if now thou do prosper my way. And then verse 56. He told Laban and Rebekah's mother, he said unto them, hinder me not, seeing the Lord hath prospered my way. We believe in the prosperity gospel. It's a gospel that prospers. He can't be defeated. Well, Rebekah goes with the man. And she sees somebody off in the distance. She asks Eliezer, who is that? Who is that? Verse 65, for she had said unto the servant, what man is this that walketh in the field to meet us? And don't you know Eliezer? He just bursting with joy. He said, it's my master. That's my master. He's the one I've been telling you about. He owned everything Abraham has. He's given to his son. And I'll tell you, everything God's got, He's given to Christ Jesus. He has universal authority over all things. It's my master. And when you hear who He is, you'll do like she did. Verse 65. She took a veil and covered herself. She humbled herself before Isaac. Isaac, you see, meets her at a well of water. Water in the Word of God is that which cleanses. He said, that's my master. And I'll tell you, a faith look to Jesus Christ will just melt the heart, won't it? Just melts the heart. And you worship Him. And you say, oh, this is the Savior I want. And verses 66 and 67, He loved her. He loved her. Christ loved us with an everlasting love. Therefore, in loving kindness, He's drawn us. It's a beautiful love story, isn't it? I just enjoy preaching from this passage of Scripture, and I trust it has been a blessing to you. Let's pray. Father, we are so very thankful for You sending forth Your Eliezers to preach of Christ and His glories and His beauties, of His excellencies, of His person, of His offices, of His attributes, of His work of redemption, that all things have been given of the Father to Him. And it's a glorious opportunity we have week after week to declare the honors and the majesty of the Savior. And to put this before men and women, wilt thou go with this man? I'm not talking about making a light, quick decision. We're talking about reaching a verdict. Who is this? Who is this Christ? Is He who God says He is? And will we follow Him? Will we love Him? Will we believe Him? Well, if You make us willing, we will. And we're thankful that You've overcome our rebellious wills and You made us willing in the day of Your power. Keep us ever faithful. As I've said, we've seen others get sidetracked. Lord, don't let us get sidetracked. Help us to always remember what our errand is, what our mission is. It's just like the mission of the Apostle Paul, who summed up his ministry. We preach Christ crucified. Send us away rejoicing in Your everlasting love to the bride of Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. In His name I pray. Amen.